So we took a prescription last Sunday, and we understand the side effects of that prescription. And we realize that if we're going to survive this, we have to praise our way through it. If we're going to overcome this, we have to praise our way through it. Instead of worrying our way through this, we must worship our way through this. So if you remember last Sunday, we established that we praise because God asked for it. Maybe you took notes. Maybe you're beginning today's notes just under the ones you took last Sunday. We praise because God asked for it. We also praise because it is our purpose. We praise because it is our purpose. We praise because of who He is. You remember this teaching last week? We praise because of who He is. We also praise because of what He's done. It's a valid reason. It is a really good reason to praise the Lord because He has done so much for you and I. And then we ended last week, actually where I want to pick up this week, with the fact that worship changes everything. It's where we ended last week, and the Lord was in this room really strong and really powerful. I know that our online stream ended, but this service continued on for a good while as we worshiped, as we gave Him praise, as we rested in the presence of the Lord. Why? Because worship changes everything. I'm picking up there this Sunday because I need to make sure that point is underscored and make sure that we realize and fully appreciate that, because everyone worships something. Everyone worships something. But God is seeking and looking for people who will worship Him. I realize there are a lot of competing factors, and there are a lot of options, and you just have to pardon my old school soul that was raised around an altar and being told that it was commitment or nothing at all. That either Jesus was everything to us or He was nothing at all. Just pardon me. I'm going to try to make space for all of us. But I get really frustrated with people who have made worship just an option in 2020. And the option is conditional on whether or not things are going good for us. Well, if worship was determined by our circumstances, probably very few of us would be worshiping in this season, because it feels like things are not going good for us. No, everything is messed up right now. Everything is flipped upside down right now. Everything is a little volatile right now, and certainly is uncertain in this season. But I'm coming back to a realization and an understanding that worship has the power to change everything. John chapter 4, beginning at verse 19, "Sir," the woman said, "you must be a prophet. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it is here at Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worshiped. Jesus replied, "Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for, seeking those who will worship him that way. For God is a spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." I've read just a portion of literally an argument, if you will. No, they're not yelling at each other, and it's not ugly, but Jesus stopped by the well where this woman was filling her water pots, and he asked for a drink for himself. That incited this race conversation. "Why are you, a Jew, asking me, a Samaritan, for something to drink?" And Jesus said, "Actually, it wasn't about the water anyway. I just wanted to have a conversation with you. It was just small talk to get to something more important, because if you would drink from the water that I have, you would never thirst again." And then the conversation begins to play out from there, because this lady who has lived a rough life, this lady who has lived a struggling life, who Jesus acknowledges is now living with a man who is not her husband, Jesus takes time to talk with her because she has a heart for worship. Jesus is interested in her because she has a heart for worship. Hear me today. Jesus has time for anyone whose life is not perfect, but realizes that he is perfect. It's not about you and I getting ourselves together before we get in the presence of the Lord. It's not about you and I getting everything cleaned up. Man, all of the people that I have met around the altars that were ready for life change, ready for breakthrough, ready for a turnaround in their life. But they said, "Hey, just excuse me. I'll be back next Sunday. I've got to go take care of some things. I'll come back just as soon as I get my life cleaned up." No. Why would you ever leave an altar to go try to do something on your own that you do not have the power to do? If you want to fix something in your life, then you've got to get in relationship with the one who can do the fixing, who can do the healing, who can do the delivering, who can break the chains, who can help us. Does anybody know and understand that Jesus is the one with the power to change our lives? Worship changes everything. And this woman who has this sordid past, she becomes the greatest witness in this town. I'm not trying to accentuate her past. I'm not trying to point out that this woman is currently living in a situation that's not pleasing to the Lord. I want you to see that when she understands the power of worship, when she begins to worship Jesus for who he is, it so changes her life that the Bible said she left her water pots and she began to preach to everybody in the town, saying, "Hey, come see a man." And there was a crowd that gathered around Jesus that he could preach to and that he could see saved and delivered. Why? Because her worship changed everything in her life. That's the power of worship. That's why if you're living a life right now that you don't like, If you're living a life right now that is frustrating or painful or difficult or just constantly in turmoil, you got to find some opportunities to worship the Lord. You got to find some opportunities to give God what He is asking for. He's not asking for your perfection. He's asking for your praise. He's not asking for you to do everything just right. He's asking for your worship. And if He can get that, then everything else will come into agreement and into alignment with you giving God the worship that He is worthy of. That's good teaching, whether you amen it or not. Worship changes everything. Let me tell you, number two, worship gets God's attention. Worship gets God's attention. John 4:21, Jesus replies, "Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem." It's not going to matter in 2020 whether you worship God in the building or at home. It's not going to matter whether you can gather physically or if you just have your family unit, or maybe you're at church all by yourself today in your apartment. It's not going to matter whether you're on the mountaintop or in the crowd or in the marketplace or just out all by yourself. When you worship, you are going to have the attention of God. I want you to hear this, because everyone is trying to figure out how to get God into their situation. Everyone is trying to figure out how to get God involved in their circumstance. We'll watch hours of self-help, TV, or maybe it's Zooms right now, or maybe you're reading books and ingesting and trying to figure out, how can I bring about this change in my life? Listen, if you will begin with worship, I'm not against the self-help, definitely not against the book, not against so many good things, but if I'm putting all of that ahead of my true heartfelt worship, then I am completely out of order. Hear me, church. We've got to get back to worshiping God with our whole heart. While man is frustrated, while we're searching for the right tool in the bag to try to tinker and mess with and turn this and fix this, the Lord is saying, it is time to worship me and to praise me in spirit and in truth. I want the attention of God. I'm selfish enough to pray this morning that I want God's attention in Newton County. I want God's attention in Rockdale County. I want God's attention in Walton County. I want God's attention in Metro Atlanta. I want God's attention on the state of Georgia. I want His attention on our nation. Ah, but Pastor Dale, it's not going to happen until we have an election. It's not going to happen until we fix this. It's not going to happen until we do that. All of that may be true. None of that may be true. But here is what is absolutely true. Nothing will happen until we worship Him, until we magnify Him, until we bless Him. That's an oversimplification. So be it then. But I know what the Bible says. I know that if I will put Him first in my life, that all of these other things have to line up to what I have made number one. I want God's attention. And I believe that Jesus is revealing His heart to reach all mankind. How do you know that? Because I'm watching men hate one another and despise one another, and people just separating, whether it's by race or whatever may be happening in our communities. Everyone is divided. Everyone is hurting. Everyone is offended. Everyone is splintered. And yet Jesus is saying, I want to reach everyone, red, yellow, black, white, everyone precious in my sight. Democrat, Republican, independent, whatever you are, whomever you are, I want to reach everyone. Here is my conviction on this Sunday morning. There is a God experience for every single man and every single woman in this room and watching online. There's a God experience for every one of us. Every one of us. When people walk into this church, this could be as close as they will ever get to an altar. This may be as near to Jesus as they ever get. I'm not speaking to the other churches in our community. I bless them. I'm just responsible to lead this one. And I've got to make sure that the atmosphere is right. Make sure that the temperature is right. I walked in this morning, and I don't know. I sent someone to go check thermostats because something just didn't feel right. It didn't feel like our normal temperature. And so I don't know what the report is. It still doesn't feel just exactly right to me. But that's what air conditioning can do. That's what fans can do. That's what man can do. But some of us need to walk into our houses. Some of us need to walk into our places of business and say, wait a minute, the temperature is just not right. If I can walk back to a thermostat and adjust it a degree up or down, what can I do in the spirit to change the atmosphere? Can I worship? Can I praise? Can I pray? Can I give? What can I do to make sure that the temperature is right? Because I want everyone to have this God experience. I want everyone to feel comfortable in the presence of the Lord. And we must be people. We must be people who lead other people to an experience. Lead them to a worship experience. There are guests in this room today, and I'm not trying to single out guests. We don't do that here. I would never embarrass you at all, but I don't know where people are coming from or what people are living in or what maybe they have gone through. But here's what I know. You wouldn't have come to church today if you didn't want to be in church. Guests find every reason not to come to church. No, that one's too big, or it's too far. I don't know anybody there. It's too long of a... They'll find any reason. So when they do come, it's because, man, I can't stay away. I've got to get in the presence of the Lord. So what has to happen when they arrive is that there are other people that understand how church works, saying, oh, we want to make sure the temperature is right. We want to make sure the atmosphere is right. We want to make sure the room is prepared, because we want everyone to have a God experience, because everyone deserves a God experience. Jesus said, the time is coming. Did you hear what he told her? He said, the time is coming. And now is. I believe that now is the time. Oh, no, Pastor, there, we got to see things calm down a little more. No, no, now is the time. No, we got to see things settle down politically before we can have revival. No, now is the time. We got to wait until there's a vaccine. We got to have a vaccine for this stupid virus. Then we can see God do something great. No, now is the time. He didn't say the conditions were going to be perfect when he poured out his spirit. He just said he was going to pour out of his spirit. He didn't say that everything was going to be great, wonderful, and good when he sent revival. He just said he was going to send the harvest. Hey, I believe that now is the time. That's why I'm trying to motivate the Church Covington. That's why I'm trying to stir up Team Church. That's why I'm speaking to somebody online right now. Don't become distracted with all of the junk, with all of the voices, with all of the attitudes, with all of the anger and offense. Rise above it and say, I'm going after the attention of God. I want his attention. And the only way I know to get it is to say, hey, Lord, here I am. Hey, I've got my hands lifted. I'm opening up my mouth. I'm giving you the praise that you're worthy of, because I want a God experience in my life. I want a God experience. I want a God experience. And Jesus said, the time is now. I wonder if we believe that. I wonder if you'd be willing to accept that today. Because I know everything right now is telling us this is not the time. But look around. Our in-person crowds are gathering. They're getting stronger every week, and we got to keep social distancing. We have to continue to be careful. We have to continue to guard the weak among us, the older seniors among us. We have to continue to do our part and not be cavalier and not be unwise in our response to these things. But I see people coming back because they hunger, they thirst for the presence of God. I've felt God watching online. You're watching right now, and I'm glad you're here. And I've felt God in my home. I've felt God watching, and I don't discount any of that, but I'm telling you, there is something so tangible about the presence of God. And I'm sorry we're not more produced. I'm sorry we're not fancier than we are. I'm sorry I make such a terrible TV preacher, but hear me, there is an experience that happens in this church. I'm not ashamed of it. I refuse to deny it. I cannot shy away from it. It is the result of one thing. It is passionate praise. It is heartfelt desire for the moving of the Spirit. I've got no shade for anybody, but this is not a Baptist church, and this is not a Catholic church. This is not Mass. There are no recited prayers happening today. We're not passing out the holy water. Again, no shade, no disrespect for anyone's experience. All I can tell you is what I have seen and what I have heard and what I have felt, and I cannot accept anything less than the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. I want to be filled with it from the top of my head all the way through the toes on my feet. I want to be full of Jesus in my life. Does anybody else want him as well? Pastor Dale, you make us nervous when you preach like this. I'm sorry. I genuinely am. I want everybody to make the trip. I want everybody to come along. I want everybody to taste and see that God is good. But at some point, you got to make a decision. Some point, you got to pick a team and play hard. Some point, you got to choose this day. Some point, you have to decide, either I am going with Jesus, or I'm going to keep playing games with my sin. Get God's attention. Get his attention. Number three. I become what I worship. Just a couple of these that are kind of working on us a little bit. I'll get to the fun stuff in just a moment, but I become what I worship. We opened this message today by saying that everyone worships something. Even if you are not worshiping today, we still worship something. And whatever it is I give my attention to, whatever it is I value in my life, that is what I become like. If you start hanging around people, if you're my kids, if you move to Georgia, if you start hanging around people with a heavy accent, you don't even have a source for the accent, but you will start talking like the people that you hang around. It's just the truth. You'll start dressing like the people you hang around. Why? Because you want to fit in. You want to be included. You want to have a part in what everyone is talking about. So go ahead and take inventory of your life, the things that you're giving the most time to, the most attention to. That's what you sound like. That's what you look like. Because we become what we worship. John 4:23, the time is coming indeed. It's here now when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. So whatever I'm giving my heart to, whatever I'm giving my attention to, that is what I am becoming. So that means I have to reach for right things. I have to put my mind on right things. And I'm not trying to beat a dead horse, and I'm definitely not trying to be sarcastic in any way, but hear me. If all I'm doing is ingesting the news of the day, then all I'm doing is parroting and repeating and speaking all that I've heard all day or all week long. If I don't take time in the presence of God, if I don't invest myself into the presence of God, then I can't become more like Him. I want to be more like Him. So I want to reach for the right things. I want to worship the right one. I don't want to worship some politician. I don't want to worship, some celebrity somewhere, God forbid. I want to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want to, like Paul said, set my affections on things above. Get my eyes elevated, my heart lifted, moving toward thinking upward on things better than the things of earth. I've got to live here. I've got to occupy until He comes. But I don't have to think like the world thinks. I don't have to react nor respond as the world reacts or responds. Because I become what I worship. So if I worship the Lord, I'm going to become more like the Lord in my attitude and my lifestyle. I'm going to sound like Him, respond like Him, react like Him. I become what I worship. Number four. Worship can change God's mind. Worship can change God's mind. Lest you think that worship is just, It's just energy or just movement or just song, singing. Worship is powerful. It can change God's mind. Let me tell you some things that worship can do. Worship can open doors that nothing else can. Worship can open doors that nothing else can. I was preaching in North Carolina one Sunday, and there was a lady in that small little building, half, a third the size of this, but over in this outside aisle, there was a woman that was worshiping. I mean worshiping. And I was down praying for some people over there on that side of the building. Finally, I don't know what came over me. I didn't understand at the time, but I said, hey, be careful. What do you mean? You know, she didn't, am I bumping into somebody sometimes when you worship? You know, you can get a little out of yourself. And so she wants to, be careful, don't step on that baby's feet. Be careful, there's a baby worshiping around you. That woman, I mean, burst into tears and just, oh, what are you, wait a minute, I can't even have kids. Got angry. I can't have children. Here come the pastor real quick. Man, listen, whoa, this is sensitive. Hey, we have prayed about this for a long time. Be careful. Make sure what you're saying is God. All I know is be careful. Don't hurt that baby worshiping beside you. What is God doing? God's telling a woman who's not been able to have kids that someday you're going to have a baby worshiping with you around your feet. It was only about 10 months later that the woman who could not have kids, High Point, North Carolina, call them, I'm not lying, it's the truth, happened just as sure as I'm standing here. Why? Because worship can change God's mind. Life can be going one direction for you. Life can be happening one way for you, and all of a sudden, your worship, it turns everything. It changes everything. It stirs the heart of God. Worship can open doors that nothing else can. Worship can heal hurts that can be healed no other way. Worship. Not what a counselor can do. And I believe in counselors. I've been to a few of them in my time. But worship can heal hurts that can be healed no other way. Worship can soothe the most devastated heart. Worship can reset the mind and emotions of man. And hear me, worship is real and it is undeniable. I say that for everyone who's ever been taught or told that it's just emotionalism. There's emotion involved, absolutely. But worship is real, and the power of it is undeniable. Worship can change God's mind. Matthew 15, I'm almost done. Matthew 15 and 21, then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Gentile woman who lived there came to him pleading, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely." Someone requested prayer already today for a child who was struggling with addiction. Same prayer as this woman. "Hey, Lord, my house is upside down right now. Got turmoil in my family because my daughter is possessed by a demon. And the torment is severe." Look. I wish I had a perfect story for you. Verse 23 said that Jesus gave her no reply. Not even a word. That's what the Bible said. Somebody check me. Make sure I'm telling it right. Jesus gave her no reply. Not even a word. Then his disciples, those scallywags, urged him to send her away. Get rid of her, Jesus. We got more important things to do. More important people to minister to. More important people to help. The disciples said, she's bothering us with all of her begging. Got one thing to say, professional Christians, disciples, they didn't come to see you anyway. That was free. Not in my notes, just threw that in for somebody that needed something extra, some land, yep. A little something extra. Jesus says to the woman, I was only sent to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel. But she came and worshiped him, pleading again, Lord, help me. Jesus responded, it isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs. She replied, that's true, Lord. But even dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall from beneath their master's table. I believe this is what Jesus was getting at all along. He was trying to teach some other people that were eavesdropping. He was trying to teach some Pharisees and people that were listening to see how he was going to respond. Let me give all the politically correct answers first. Let me tell you all of the religiosity things to say just perfectly. T's crossed and I's dotted. But this woman said, I will not be refused. I'm going to worship until my situation turns. I'm going to praise until I get a breakthrough. I'm going to worship until there is change for my family, in my life, in my house. I'm going to magnify you until you have no choice but to bless my life. Jesus said, dear woman, your faith is great, and your request is granted. And the Bible said that her daughter was instantly healed. Why? Because worship can change God's mind. Worship changes God's mind. So let me ask you today, what do you need to change God's mind about? This woman worshiped her way to life change, to a change in her family. I want you to hear me. She kept a right attitude even when Jesus ignored her. Hello? She kept a right spirit. She kept a worshipful heart even when he said something she didn't like. We are so offended in 2020. So offended. We're not going to be bossed, led, pastored, parented, advised, counseled. Worship changes. Worship decreases me and increases him. Worship brings me down low. Oh no, I finally got up out of the muck and the mire. No, not that kind of low. I'm talking about you being anybody's slave, anybody's doormat, anyone's abused. No. Worship, it calms my attitudes and my opinions and my desires. I decrease and he increases. She worshiped instead of whining. The woman literally worshiped her way into the heart of God for a miracle and a change for the next generation. Her daughter was instantly healed. So I'm asking today, who will your worship heal? Mama, you got kids that aren't acting right? I call you to worship. Dad, you got finances that are just completely crazy? I call you to worship. Your home is a mess? I call you to worship. Church needs breakthrough? Call all of us to worship. Because worship changes everything. Everything. The addicted son, messed up daughter, the broken marriage, worship changes everything. Everything. So who will your worship heal? Maybe you need to change God's mind today. Maybe you need his attention. I'm going to tell you, it's not too late. You're not too far gone. You got breath in your body and you can hear the word that's going forth today. There is still time for you. I don't know who's watching right now that I feel so strong to tell you that it's not too late. It's not too late. God is still in control. Let me tell you something about worship. Anyone, everyone can worship. Everybody. Not just the believer, everyone can worship. He wants you to become a believer, but everyone can worship. There are no perfect people. All flesh is grass. David was imperfect. Moses was imperfect. Jeremiah was imperfect. Peter was imperfect. Yet David was known as a man after God's heart. Moses led people out of Egypt and gave tablets of commandment. Jeremiah became God's mouthpiece to a nation. Peter, not perfect, became the preacher to preach on the day of Pentecost. Doesn't matter where you are right now, God can do miracles with your life. Worship can bring a fresh start. It can bring miracles in body, in family, physical miracles. I've told you about the woman up in the balcony of that church building. There were a lot of people crammed into that room. I was preaching a good message about worship. And this woman would not stop worshiping. It was the craziest thing. Interrupting a message about worship to worship. Imagine that. But she just kept worshiping. And the louder I got, the louder she got. And the harder I preached, the harder she worshiped. Finally, I stopped and said, "What in the world is going on up there?" Just like that, I kid you not. What's the deal? Her family that was around her said, "Hey," I felt like they were saying, "Hey, dummy. Hey, she's been blind her whole life." I kid you not. This conversation's going on in the middle of church. "What? She was blind. mind her whole life. But while she was worshiping, and then all of a sudden the woman said, I can see. I can see. Worship changed God's mind in her life. And you're sitting here today with a list of things that you can't change. Try as you may. They're out of your control. And God says, worship. 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 Because worship can change everything. Worship is the highest expression of gratitude and gratefulness. Worship helps us realize how great God is and how great we are not without Him. Worship is for God and God alone. It's the only one. No gods beside Him. It's Him. Anybody feel like worshiping for just a moment? Right where you are, on your couch, in the recliner, laying in the bed, at home, sitting in this room right now. I'll invite you to stand in just a moment, but right where you are, would you just find a way to worship Him? Would you do it, whether it's with your voice or with your hands? I worship You, O God. I worship You, O God. I feel the Lord in this room right now. I believe You feel Him right where you are online. Don't miss this moment to worship Him. Come on, stand with me in this room. Gonna ask everyone for just a moment. Please just allow this to be a holy moment. No going out right now. No dismissal right now. Just hold on a moment. If you're willing, just lift your hands in this room. What do you need God to change in your life? What do you need Him to turn? What do you need Him to heal? What chain do you need Him to break? What addiction needs to end today? What pain could be healed in this moment? Worship changes everything. 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 Father, I pray for every single person bound, shackles of sin and pain and crisis. To Today we repent of our sin. Today we reject. We reject the thinking that I can live in both worlds. That I can come and go from the place of the holy. No, today, I make my decision. I want to be in your presence. I want to be in your house. I want to be saved today, Lord. So I ask you to cleanse me. Heal me. Set me free and save me today, Lord. I open my heart to your gift. I open my mind to renewing. I open my life to being led by you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.